From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
El Cerrito.
Union Square.
San Francisco.
South of Market.
From Albany.
Hayes Valley.
Rock Ridge in Oakland.
I'm from the Civic Center.
Coming up, protests shut down the international terminal of SFO. We'll hear local Muslims respond to President Trump's executive orders on, quote, extreme vetting.
This is what happened to the Japanese after World War II, and we said never again, but we're still here.
Then we'll hear from a Bay Area band about how they forged their own unique identity.
Bangdata just stuck, and it's exactly what the music is. It's that force of nature with the sound backed with information.
Sounds like Cross Currents. Stick around. On Friday, President Trump signed an executive order restricting refugee and immigrant entry into the U.S. As customs agencies at airports across the country scrambled to interpret and enforce the order, thousands of protesters came out in support of immigrants and refugees.
We are not going anywhere until all our people are free.
As many as 2,000 people descended on San Francisco International Airport over the weekend, demanding the release of travelers who were detained due to the executive order. A spokesperson said five travelers to SFO were directly impacted by the order, though it's possible others were temporarily held for regular screening. Sunday evening, protesters got word that the last of the detained had been released. Lara Kiswani with the Arab Resource and Organizing Collective called it a win.
The disruption, the show of collective force and will, the ongoing organizing and conversations with public officials and having them put pressure on the larger public officials is what made today a victory.
Homeland Security agents at airports across the country interpreted and enforced the order inconsistently. Here's what the order does. It temporarily bans refugees from any country. It indefinitely bans refugees from Syria and temporarily bans citizens from seven Muslim-majority countries. On Sunday, White House spokesperson Sean Spicer clarified that green card holders from those countries would be allowed to return to the U.S. Officials from BART, SFO, and SFPD did little to suppress the demonstration. Here's SFPD Captain Curtis Lum.
We're not anticipating any arrest. We want to facilitate people's expression, freedom of speech expression. So we want everyone to be able to demonstrate, get their point across.
Protesters took turns addressing the crowd.
So my name is Naveed Amini, and my mom and dad are from Iran. And they lived this country almost their entire life. I am proud to be of Iranian descent. I am proud to be an American. And I'm proud that all of us are here to stand up to Donald Trump and his tyranny, and we will not tolerate it.
As many as 250,000 Muslims from many cultural backgrounds live in the Bay Area. Protester David Plank.
I think this is a betrayal of many of the most profound values that the United States has stood for over 200 years. And I cannot believe that in 1 week we have sold out that long heritage out of fear and distrust of our fellow human beings.
Those voices were recorded by Carrie Spivak and Liza Veal. The countries affected by President Trump's executive order were all identified as, quote, countries of concern by the Obama administration. They are Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. About 5,000 Bay Area residents were born in Yemen, a country that's been in the midst of a brutal civil war since March 2015. Jihan Hakim is Yemeni-American and works with the Asian Law Caucus.
This will directly impact many of our Yemeni clients and their ability to petition for their families, not to mention clients from the other six banned countries, and who's to know who else will be added. This restriction will further complicate an already complicated immigration process, where many are rarely granted visas as it is. I am most worried about the normalization of Islamophobia, especially when blanket orders are made with the caption of protecting national security. This is what happened to the Japanese after World War II, and we said never again. But we're still here. The Muslim community as a whole is extremely fearful of being further demonized and being viewed as lower class citizens. My family is in shambles thinking about how they will visit relatives in Yemen. This order and other discriminatory ones like it will only make our nation unwelcoming and stain our reputation.
Sudan is also on that list of countries included in Trump's executive order. The Sudanese Association of Northern California counts about 500 Sudanese families in the Bay, many of them on political asylum, fleeing the policies of the military government in Sudan. Yesterday at the Sudanese community's Sunday school, I met with parents during recess. As their kids played, they were talking about their concerns regarding the ban.
I have to make a choice between continuing my life here and working for the high-tech companies, which I'm inspired of, and being part of a country that I've been part of for the last 17, 18 years, or go and be part, join my family. It's a tough choice, but I will choose my family over all the time.
This is not America, and it's against the values of this country.
My mother, she got an appointment at, next Sunday, right? For a visa, okay, to come and visit and see her grandkids. So she wouldn't be able to come. Wouldn't be able to come.
My sister called me yesterday. She's a permanent resident. She asked me, what if I left this country, would I be able to come back?
For a president to come and nullify all the good work that had been done by immigrants, where they have been paying taxes, where they have been contributing to the society, where they went to school, where their kids are going to school, where they grew up here. The only thing they know is growing up in this land. Now for somebody to come and basically multiply all this by zero, it's definitely unacceptable.
I'm optimistic because I'm getting calls from neighbors and friends telling me that they're concerned about what they hear on the news and asking, well, how can we help?
Those were the voices of Abdurrahman Abdussalam, Muhammad Abdel Fattah, Luay Marghani, Farid Mushawi, and a man who preferred not to be named for immigration safety reasons. Bay Area Sudanese often resort to Jamila Abdurrahman, who's a community advocate and immigration consultant, and a friend of mine. We're both Sudanese-American. I asked her what she's telling her Sudanese clients.
My phone has been off the hook. I've got messages on my text messages. I got WhatsApp messages because these are messages that come from overseas. Pretty much anybody who has a process for something that has to do with immigration or with the State Department, they are worried about what's going to happen to them next. And we really don't have an answer for them now. And because we're not sure how to tell them what's going to happen because we're not sure what's going to happen. But what we're telling them is just stay put, stay involved in, talking about these things and voicing your opinion about it and get going to your organizations, your support groups, and get involved with their work because that's how we can combat these actions.
And so organizing, but legally, where are we right now?
We're going to expect a lot of legal lawsuits and people are going to react to this in the legal community. And but people need to start working on their processes. If you've been due for a citizenship and you've been waiting on it, go and file for your citizenship. If you have an expired permanent resident card, go and renew it. It's not now only illegal immigrants and committed crime and all of this. We feel like everybody now is targeted. They don't want more immigrants or more people from outside the United States to be here. And since you're a target, you have to really fend for yourself.
You said your phone is ringing off the hook. People asking questions, what kind of specific questions? Are these students? Are they husbands? Their wives are coming over?
We have many situations. Like right now, we're helping a family come from Dubai for medical treatment, and their visa is in process. But yesterday they were told that it's under administrative processing, and we don't know if it's a coincidence or if something is happening or not. But there's different processes that we're working on as far as like applying for student visas for people coming for different conferences. It's a lot of exchange programs, a lot of family petitions, people trying to join family. We have a family whose visa has been approved, but it's been also delayed now. We're getting questions from the people as to what's going to happen to us. Are they going to stop our family from coming? Are they going to stop visas, even visitor visas to our countries like that are named in the expected order, 6 or 7 countries they said they're going to put on the list.
To what extent has this hit home for you, your family, your friends?
Oh, it has hit home very close, actually. I have family members who are in process for getting a visa for medical treatment, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. I have family members who are supposed to have their family join here, and they're not certain about what's going to happen. So, and I get a lot of questions from family members, from friends, from different people in the community. Since yesterday, I've been getting questions, and all I'm saying is just we have to wait and see what's going to happen next.
As someone who's been an American now and here for decades, this is your home. How does it feel for you personally to be in an America that is now going in this direction?
I feel sad about what's happening right now and what this country has gotten into. But at the same time, I mean, I don't see this new, because these are some of the challenges and the things that we've been facing since we came to this country, since we even read about the history of the United States of America, since we were, you know, in our homes back in the days. And I mean, history has told us that America has always has been divided along these lines. There are people who don't want immigrants. There are people who don't care about these issues, about people, human rights, and things like that. I'm Muslim. I'm black. I'm considered Arab as well. So there's so many things that I carry with me, and I feel that they've been targeted, and I've been at the aim with these new problems that are coming. So I think I will just keep working, keep getting involved, keep voicing my opinion, work with the different organizations to combat what's happening right now.
Jamila Abdurrahman is a community advocate and immigration consultant. The Arab Cultural and Community Center of San Francisco is holding an emergency town hall meeting about the effects of Trump's executive orders. That's on Wednesday. And if you have thoughts you'd like to share with us, email us at news@kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. When Deuce Eclipse and Juan Manuel Caipo joined forces in 2008, they wanted to make music that could do two things: provide information and make beats that bang. Their band, Bang Data, does just that. Deuce Eclipse comes from the world of hip-hop as an MC and a b-boy, while Juan mostly played rock before joining the band. Together, both Juan and Deuce combine influences from other genres, from cumbia to hip-hop to metal. Bang Data came into KALW's studio to talk about their music and play some acoustic versions of their favorite tracks in this edition of Bay Area Beats.
We met in 2008, yep, in Oakland, California, the historic West Oakland.
That's when the bromance started.
Yeah, let the bromance begin.
Me despierto con música en mi mente y todos saben que yo soy el presidente. El Nica Mexica, el pinolero residente americano nacido con corazón nicaragüense.
My name is Juan Manuel Caipo. They call me Caipo, and I play drums and I'm a producer in Bangdata. Well, I was born in, I'm from a Peruvian family. I was born in Los Angeles, and anyways, went to Peru, came back, started playing music. All my folks, family are musicians.
I am Deucey Clips, a.k.a. Coqui Calavera, the singer, MC. I am a Bay Area native, one of the many rare species that you see walking around the streets nowadays. I was first generation born here in the United States from Nicaraguan parents from Central America. And my father was a singer as well, you know, and a guitar player, organ player. And so I grew up with a lot of the old school music.
We hear when you come to the show. So here we go, here we go. Si, prende este fuego ya, todo mundo pa bailar. No tiempo pa descansar, yo canto el paso limar. Esta rola pa mi son mi palafa.
We first started playing together. I was working on a solo album with a producer here from the Bay Area. And I don't want to say he hit like a wall, but he kind of, I was taking it to a real Latino kind of avenue, more Spanish and singing. So he asked around for some people. We passed some names around, and Caipo came up, and he came to one of my shows. From there, we went to the studio like that week, and we pretty much started recording. We started, you know, fusing our interests together. He comes from the more rockero rock world. I come from the more hip-hop world, and we kind of meshed them together. And we're influenced, I feel, by the same kind of things, but individually, we do it differently, but when we put it together, that's what creates Bangdata.
This song is called Mucho Poco, and it's the self-titled track from our album, Mucho Poco. It's celebrating love, but at the same time, it's a bittersweet song because it expresses the end of a relationship, you know.
Mucho poco, pero poco mucho, mi amor es loco, pero no está roto. Mucho poco, pero poco.
It's kind of a weird thing to say, but what is the term oxymoron when you say two words that are almost the opposite in the world? I'm not sure the definition, but mucho is like a lot and poco is like a little. So the song is like, you know, a lot and a little all at the same time, kind of like in the sense of the little things count, you know, as well. Like a lot of the little things is what in the song, you know, they were lacking, or what was lacking in the love relationship and why it kind of fell apart.
It's more of a trend about like transition, about a new stage in life, really.
Pero dime dónde estás. Pero dime dónde estás.
All right. Listo?
Let's do it.
This song is They Don't Know, and it's basically just about the story of my parents coming here and just the experience of being a first generation born, you know, Latino in the Bay Area, and just how it feels when you can't speak English, for instance.
Yo, my dad was in the blur, I know it's so tough being him. And my mammy's so depressed, and how did all of this begin? And there is love in this house, but this country gave us doubts. And it's like, if you talk back, they like, hush your mouth. Pero no me conoces, yo soy un toro conmigo.
You walk around with this idea that they don't know what I'm saying, or they don't know how I feel, you know, they'll never know because they don't understand my culture and I'm not speaking your language. But, you know, it morphs into everybody, you know. You walk down the street and you see somebody, you'll never know what they're really thinking or feeling. You know, it's that feeling of being separate in the world.
We never consider ourselves to be a political band, but I think especially where we're at, like in this time and age, you can't help it because you start expressing yourself, whether it's in the show or through songs. It might not be direct or very obvious what the lyric is about, but definitely there is a sense of you know, a social political message. You know, whether you're an immigrant or whether you're talking about, you know, sorrow and love, about, you know, it could be a family, it could be, you know, it could be friendship, it could be the stress and the pressure of times of, you know, trying to come up and stay afloat, you know, trying to find, you know, trying to make a living. I think the responsibility, I think us as humans or artists, yeah, we definitely have a microphone on stage, you know, we have recording capabilities, but I wouldn't tie ourselves into like it's we have to do this. I think it should really come from the heart, and I think as people, you know, we're just sharing our experiences as Latinos, and, you know, from second generation Latinos from here in the United States, and we're watching the change of times like right in front of us. So whatever happens today or tomorrow, I'm sure we'll be either singing about it or talking about it.
I live by a motto, which is, you know, the Creator gave us a piece of ourselves that's for the world, and you always have to give that part of yourself to the world. That's what it's there for. You know, we're not here to like barrel it down your face or anything like that, but it's in the music, and it's always going to be in the music as long as I'm behind a microphone, because that's just how I was raised. You know, I'm close to the community, I care about my people, I care about the world, so that's always going to be, I feel, a part of Bang Data sound. No me conoces, no me conoces, no me conoces,
no me conoces. That was Deuce Eclipse and Juan Manuel Caipo of Oakland band Bang Data. The piece was produced by Jen Chien. You can catch Bang Data at the Rickshaw Stop in San Francisco on February 4th, along with Locura and Audio Pharmacy. All that information is at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. In 1996, when San Francisco's Presidio was decommissioned as an army base and turned into a national park, a man named Eric Blind came to work at the Presidio as an AmeriCorps volunteer. Blind sat down with his coworker Carrie Jones for StoryCorps San Francisco.
When I first got here, the Presidio was really a ghost town.
So what was the assignment? What did it consist of?
It was to do some work out there on Crissy Field, which when I got here was kind of a dilapidated parking lot wrapped with barbed wire, and we're just starting the planning to take all that out and recreate a natural marsh out there. After AmeriCorps, in AmeriCorps I had free housing here at the Presidio, so I lived here. I lived here, I worked here, I felt like I knew the land. And then the Presidio Trust hired me as an archaeological technician in 1998. At that point, you know, I was no longer in AmeriCorps, so I didn't have any housing. So I had this good job, and I didn't really have any place to stay. I would just stay at the Presidio. There were all these, you know, wonderful old buildings, and they were in bad enough shape that they weren't locked very well. And so for a while, I would just, you know, work all day and around the Presidio, and then I'd kind of work late, and then I'd leave work like, you know, people do, and go out to the city and have a bite to eat and have a couple drinks, and then I'd mosey my way back onto the Presidio and find a building that looked kind of interesting, and I'd climb up the walls and in the windows, and that's where I would stay. And I've stayed overnight in officers' homes from built in the Civil War. I've stayed in the room for enlisted men's barracks from the Spanish-American War, bachelor officers' quarters from the Spanish-American War. Some of the bedrooms still had beds and things in them, you know, government-issued beds and nightstands. And there was something kind of intriguing about the way it was, because it was kind of this lost landscape where you could, your imagination could just fly with what happened here, because you could see it as a bit of a ghost town and you couldn't help but imagine what it used to be like.
That was Eric Blind speaking to his coworker Kerry Jones at the Presidio in 2010. Blind today is the director of heritage programs and sites at Presidio Trust. The StoryCorps interview was produced by KALW's Kerry Spivak. And that's Cross Currents. Today's team includes Lila Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Olivia Henry, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Kavalroop Singh, and Bowen Wang. The show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Liza Veal. Jen Chien is our managing editor. Our managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by the Screaming Bloody Marys. You can catch them performing at Winter's Tavern in Pacifica on Friday night. Show starts at 9 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.